Today I'd like to share with you what I consider to be one of the most important things that God has ever done in my life. It seems like that people just nearly automatically believe that everything that happens to them is God and that God controls everything. The reason for this, of course, is because God by definition is supreme. He's all-powerful, so therefore if He's all-powerful, they just suppose that He controls every single thing that happens in our life. I mean, unbelievers even believe this. And then when you add to it, there's a lot of Christians that really promote this kind of a doctrine. It's a very ingrained doctrine in people's lives. And yet I believe that the Scripture teaches contrary to this, and it's very important that you learn this lesson. Here in James chapter 1, it says in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now, these scriptures are making it very clear that God is the author of the good things. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, "The thief comes for no other purpose except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Now, that's real simple theology. And the reason that this is so critical is because in this same book of James, over in the fourth chapter and down in verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This says that we have to submit, that means yield, control to God and resist the devil. The word resist means to actively fight against. Now, if a person believes that everything that happens in their life is totally of God, like for instance, if they're sick, if they have failure in their business, if they get laid off from their job, if their kids rebel, if their wife leaves, if their husband leaves, if anything that happens in your life is God, and God for some reason or another is using that to try and punish you or to change you, well then it puts us into a position where we're passive. And I mean, if God is really the author of it, then we can't resist it or we'd be fighting against God. And yet James chapter 4 verse 7 says you have to resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have to submit yourself unto God. That shows that certain things are of God and certain things are of the devil. There is a force of evil alive in this world, and not everything that happens in your life comes from God. And if you don't understand that, you'll wind up submitting yourself unto the devil and actually empowering Satan. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the reason I want to bring this passage out is because it's used so often. I've actually been to funerals where people don't know anything about God. People don't go to church. They don't know hardly any scripture in the Word, but they'll know this one. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, this has been interpreted to say that this means that anything that happens in your life, God does it and works it together for good some way. I actually was in a funeral one time where a young boy and girl had been drinking and doping both. They'd mixed their alcohol and drugs, and then they got into a car, drove too fast on a slick road, slid around a corner and wrapped the car around a telephone pole, killed both of them, and the preacher got up and quoted this and says, "We know that all things work together," and he said that God must have a purpose in doing this. God did not kill those teenagers. And in a sense, you can't even say the devil did it. They did it. Now, I'm sure that the devil enticed them to rebel against standards that their parents and others had taught them, but ultimately it was their choice. They're the ones that did the dope. They're the ones that did the alcohol. They're the ones that wrapped the car around a telephone pole. That's just a natural thing, and God wasn't the source of it. And so what does it mean when it says we know that all things work together for good? Well, first of all, it did not say that we know that all things come from God and work together for good. That's not what it says. It says that we know all things work together for good, but it puts some qualifications on it. To them that love God. A person that doesn't love God, this scripture doesn't work for them. Now, that's so obvious that it ought to be go without saying, and yet it's amazing how people apply this towards, for instance, people who are doing drugs and alcohol and in total rebellion against God and all of His principles, and yet they say that God did it. This says it only works together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." God manifested Himself to destroy Satan's work. That's His purpose. And so, it'll only work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Those who are walking in this calling to where they're resisting the devil, they're out to destroy the works of the devil. For those who are resisting the devil and living for God, then you can say that regardless of what the devil does in your life, God can turn around and use it for good. For instance, in the area of healing, if a person comes down with some incurable disease and they get sick, that's not God. God didn't do that to them. But if they truly love God and if they resist the devil, they're out to destroy His works, which includes sickness. And if they fight against that and release their faith, well, then yes, you can say that even this sickness that's come on them, praise God, it's going to work together for good. God didn't cause it. God didn't ordain it. But it can work together for good for when you love God and when you're the called according to His purpose. Now, this is imperative that you understand this because Satan loves to come, the Scripture says, as an angel of light. He loves to disguise himself. The devil does not come at you with a pitchfork and horns and a red union suit. Instead, he's going to come and disguise himself and he'll try and make you think it's God. And if you really believe that God is the author of the problems in your life, then you'll submit to Him because you don't want to resist God. You know, if a person really believed that God was the author of the sickness in their life, then it's inconsistent for a person who believes that to try and take medicine to get well, to go to a doctor and have them operate or receive some type of treatment. If you really believe that God put sickness on you to teach you something, then the consistent, logical thing to do would be just to submit to it and let it run its course and learn the full lesson that you're supposed to learn. Now see, even in the natural, people say, well, no, I wouldn't do that. You're supposed to fight against this. You aren't just supposed to lay down and take it. Well, I agree. And I'm saying the same thing in the spiritual realm as well as the physical realm, that we need to start discerning that God does not just control everything in your life. There is an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and we have to choose life. We have to willfully recognize that God's not guilty of everything that comes into our life. If He was a physical human being, and if He did the things that God is accused of doing, such as putting cancer and deformity and depression and sorrow and grief on people, if God was physical and He did those things, I guarantee you there's not a government on the face of the earth that wouldn't arrest Him and imprison Him or try and do something to curtail it. And yet we think that God, who is all merciful, much more merciful than any person we've ever imagined or meant in our whole life, is going around striking people and doing this. No, there's some things that are just demonic attacks. There are some things that are just natural. Not all disasters are God ordained. The insurance company writes in their acts of God, such as earthquakes and pestilence. No, God's not the author of all of these things. Somebody might say, but wait a minute, isn't God sovereign? The word sovereign literally means independent. For instance, the United States became a sovereign nation. It became independent of Great Britain. And we set our own rules. We have our own government. That doesn't mean we're lawless. It doesn't mean that we can't be predicted. Our laws govern our lifestyle, and so we are not lawless, but we are sovereign. We're independent. In that sense, God is certainly independent. Nobody tells Him what to do. But what people suppose, and sometimes they misuse this word sovereign, they use sovereign to mean that you never know what God's going to do. He cannot be put in a box. He cannot be contained. Well, He's not going to fit into our box, our little doctrines and our theology, but God Himself has bound Himself by His Word. Psalms 138 verse 2 says that He has magnified His Word above His name. He will never violate His Word. Heaven and earth are established on the integrity of God's Word. And if God was to violate His Word, heaven and earth would self-destruct. No, God can be predicted. He can be predicted to do exactly what His Word said. So in that sense, you can't say, well, it's a sovereign act of God. God just moved independent of anybody else. No, God has established laws, and God doesn't control everything in our life. He gave us a wide range of choices, and most of the time, it's us making the wrong choices that cause our grief, or somebody else who has a free will causing us grief through their sovereignty, or sometimes it's the devil that comes against us. But I want you to know today that God's not guilty. God's not the author of bad in your life. Going back to this first verse that we used in James chapter 1, it says, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Don't submit yourself to something that God doesn't want in your life, thinking that, well, God must control everything because He's God. No, God created this earth, and then He set down laws, and He gives you and me the choices to make. And He said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life, that you and your seed may live. God gave you the choice. And I just pray that today you'll choose life.